Thank you. So first, I would like to thank everyone for coming to my talk. In particular, I would like to thank organizer for having me here. So the title of today's talk is Vinogradov's mean value theorem in function field. So it is a joint work with Trevor Woolley at the University of Michigan and Trevor Woolley at the University of Bristol. So first, let me remind ourselves what is the Warren problem. So the Warren problem's concerns representations of an integer as the sum of power. More precisely, for a fixed integer k, which is big O equal than 2, and n be any positive integer, we consider the following property. Rs of n, which is the number of representations of n as the sum of xk power. And here, since the sum of each xi to the k is equal to n, so we know that each xi will be less or equal than n to the 1 over k. In case you wonder why we are interested in this quality, in this quantity, I think Trevor already gave enough justification in his talk yesterday. In case you are not satisfied with his answer, he will talk to you after the talk. And so now let's ask ourselves what is the expected size for Rsn. And since each variable xi has can run from 1 to n to the 1 over k, so we have n to the x over k possibilities for the variable. And since the sum of their ranges is of size n, and we like them to be equal to n, so the probability is only n to the s over k minus 1. So this is the expected size for Rs of n. And then two of the standard quantities which we often consider in the Warren problem is about the positivity and the asymptotic formula for Rsn. So we defined g of k to be the least integer s, such that Rsn is bigger than 0 for n sufficiently large. And in other words, this is the least integer such that we can guarantee the existence of n other representations of sum of k power. And we also defined g tilde of k to be the least integer s, such that the expected asymptotic formula for Rsn to hold. In other words, we can write Rsn as some constant s depend on s and k and n, and some gamma factor times s n to the s over k minus 1. So this is our expected size, where s of xk of s is the standard singular series in Warren problem. So the best upper bound for g of k was obtained by Trevor Woolley in 1992. By developing the efficient difference method, he proved that g of k is bounded by 1 plus little o of 1, k log k. And the best upper bound for g tilde of k was obtained by Kevin Ford in 1995. By combining Woolley's improved mean value estimates with a new derivation from a k-dimensional sum to a one-dimensional sum, he proved that g tilde of k can be bounded by 1 plus little o of 1, k squared log k. So let's notice here that the bound for g of k and g tilde of k differ significantly by a k factor. I will explain this difference in detail when we talk about the layer corresponding mean value estimate. So now two estimates are S of n. We let P to be n to the 1 over k, and we define the F of alpha to be the exponential sum E of alpha x to the power k. So here, E of alpha is the standard E to the 2 pi I alpha. Then using the orthogonality of the exponential sum, if we consider the integral 0 to 1 F of alpha to the S d alpha, so we have S copies of F, so we have sum from X1 to XS. And we do integral 0 to 1, E of alpha of X1 to the K, to XS to the K minus N. Then using the orthogonality, thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Then using the orthogonality of the exponential function, this is why you need to have a very good coarser. Okay. So we have the, we see that it is equal to what? If we have n is equal to x1 to the k2, xx to the k, and the 0 otherwise. So in other words, this integral exactly is equal to the number of representations of Rsn that we are interested with. So two estimates Rsn, it is exactly equal to consider this integral. And two estimates this integral, what one often needs is the mean value estimate for F of alpha. So the goal in our talk is actually to get the estimate of the following integral 0 to 1 f of alpha of 2t d alpha, which counts the number of solutions of x1 to the k to xt to the k equal to y1 to the k to yt to the k with the xi yi less than p. And now since we have 2t variable here, so we have p to the 2t choice for the variable, and to have the equality holds, since the range of this sum is p to the k, so we expect that we like to bound this quantity by p to the 2t minus k. However, unless that the 2t is very large, we usually cannot get bound this well. So let's suppose that we have an extra term, which I call delta here. So our goal in this talk is to try to get an upper bound for this quantity. So now we would like to estimate F of alpha. And since our F of alpha is the exponential sum over x to the power k, it is not clear how we can get an estimate. However, if k is equal to 1, then we get a geometric sum, and we can easily handle that. So this is the ideas of Weyl's differentiation and the Hoare's lemma. So the idea is to replace F of alpha by the geometric sum summation E of alpha x. But how can we do that? So let's note that if we define the function delta 1 of x to the power k h to be x plus h to the power k minus x to the k, then x to the k terms cancel each other out, and we get a polynomial of degree k minus 1 in x with the leading coefficient k. And we can repeat the process. So we can let the delta j to be delta 1 of delta j minus 1. Then since we did the j differentiation, now we will get a polynomial of degree k minus j with the leading coefficient k factorial over k minus j factorial. In particular, if we take j to be k minus 1, then we get the delta k minus 1 now become a polynomial of degree 1 with the leading coefficient k factorial. So now we successfully replace our exponential sum over x to the k over the kth power by a geometric series. Then using the estimate for the geometric series in the case when 2t is equal to 2 to the power k, then we have the integral 0 to 1 f of alpha to the power 2 to the k d alpha is bounded by p to the 2 to the k minus k plus epsilon. And this will give us the bounds for g cubed of k to be 2 to the k plus 1. So you may wonder why we need a 2 to the power k here. The reason is, and this is actually a major disadvantage of this approach, every time when we take this differentiation, we need to double the number of variables that we use. This is why when we repeat this process k minus 1 time, we need 2 to the k variable. So since the Weyl's difference in the bound, since the upper bound that we can get from Weyl's difference is rather poor, let's try another approach. So the idea of the smooth number is to replace our mean values, integral 0 to 1, f of alpha of 2t d alpha, by the following quantity, which I will call xt of pr. So it counts the number of solutions of the same equation. So x1 to the k, 2xt to the k, equal to y1 to the k, 2yt to the k. However, instead of considering all of the integers less or equal than p, now we will restrict our variable to be the smooth number. So here a of pr is what we call the smooth number. So an smooth number means that it is the integer whose price factors are at the most between the p. We can write and in a unique way that the x is equivalent by Hodder's inequality, we can get we can bound our ht of pr by the following quantity. So number of x1 to the k minus y1 to the k equal to m to the k times summation I from 2 to t ui to the k minus vi to the k, where x1 and the y1 are less than p and they actually congruent to each other, mod m to the k, and those ui vi actually will be the p r smooth number which are less or equal than p over m. Basically, what happens here is that when we try to write each variable as mi times ui, then Holder's inequality allows us to just take out a single and to decay. Now, if we take in particular that the m is of size p to the 1 over k, then since our x1, y1 is less or equal than p, and they mod each other, they are congruent to each other mod m to the power k. So they must equal to each other. So in this case, we get our x1 is equal to y1. And now our left-hand side becomes 0. So after take out m to the k, we see that our quantity Sp of Pr can now be bounded in terms of only t minus 1 variables equation. And since each ui vi lies in is less or equal than p over n, so they are in p to the 1 minus 1 over k. And now we can repeat the process until we get x1. And since we will repeat the process t minus 1 times, we get it is p to the 1 minus 1 over k, t minus 1. Now use the trivial bound for x1. We can get xt of pr can be bounded by p to the 2t minus k plus delta t, with delta t to be of size k times 1 minus 1 over k, t minus 1. So which is roughly, so this factor really represents the one here, and which is k to the e to the minus t over k. One can further improve the bound by the efficient difference method. Which will give us delta t to be of size k times e to the minus 2t over k. And this will allow us to get g of k is less than 1 plus little o of 1 k log k. So the approach of the smooth number gives us the best upper bound possible for g of k. However, since now that we consider representations of n as a sum of powers of a smooth number instead of the general integer, we do not get the asymptotic formula for Rsn. In other words, this approach fails to give us an upper bound for g tilde of k. So now if we like to get an upper bound for g tilde of k, we will need to go back to our estimates, our mean values of f of alpha directly. And this is the idea. And the idea of Vinogradov's is actually very similar to the smooth number. We like to replace our x by a product of mu with m to be of size, and m and u is less than p over m. However, the difficulty here, we can do this for the smooth number. However, for a general integer x, it is possible for a general x less than p, it is possible that the x is not divisible by any m which lies in the desired range. Thus, what we only have is x is congruent to a mod m, with a to be 0, 1, to m minus 1. And so when we try to consider x to the power k, then actually we get it is mu plus a to the power k, which we will write as summation j from 0 to k choose J, M to the J, U to the J, A to the K minus J. In other words, when we try to consider, when we try to bound our mean values, integral 0 to 1, f of alpha to the 2t d alpha, which counts the one-dimensional sums. Now because of this, we will need to consider the following property, jt of p, which counts the number of solutions, x1 to the j, 2xt to the j, equal to y1 to the j, 2yt to the j, with j running from 1 to k. So now we move from a one-dimensional sum problem to a k-dimensional. And the major point here is actually this equation. They are independent from each other. Thus, one would expect that we will get a bound of the shape jt of p, bounded by p to the 2t, since we have a 2t variable. And for each equation to hold, the probability is p to the minus j, and we have j running from 1 to k, so minus k times k plus 1 over 2 plus a little delta t. So then this is what we would like to get. And then suppose that we get this, then a trivial estimate will show that our jt of p will give the bounds for our original mean values. We can bound it either by p to the 2t minus k plus delta, with delta equal to delta t. So now to consider this mean value, we know that it is suffice to consider our jt of p. So similar to the smooth number approach, after removing the singular solution by Hodder's inequality, we can bound our jt of p by the following property, number of the solution. Now x1 to the j, 2xk to the j, minus y1 to the j, 2yt to the yk to the j, equal to m to the j, thank you, times summation I from k plus 1 to t, ui to the j, minus vi to the j, where xiyi less than p, and let's satisfy the following congruence condition. And ui, vi less than p over n. So we don't need to worry about too much thing here, but what we need to compare is the one above. In the case of the smooth number, since we only had one equation, so to solve then, it is suffice to just take out x1 and y1. However, in this case, now since we have k equation to solve, so to really solve the k equation at the same time, we need to take out the k variable. This is why, different from before, we only take out the x1, y1. Now we need to take out the x1 to xk and the y1 to yk. So now if we take, doing a similar thing, if we take m to be t to the 1 over k, then we will get the set by using this congruence relation. We get the set x1 to xk is equal to y1 to yk. And so again, our left hand side will become zero. And so we can find our JT of P. Now just by this sum, so which has J of T minus K variable. And each UIVI is of size P to the 1 minus 1 over K. And so if it is the case that the K is divisible by P is divisible by K, then we can repeat the process until we get JK of P to the 1 minus 1 over K times P minus 1. And then by using the bounds for the JK, we can get that in this case, our delta T is of size K squared times 1 minus 1 over K to the T over K minus 1. So let's compare our thing here. So before, since each time we only take out one variable, so we can repeat the process T minus 1 time, and we get a 1 minus 1 over K to the power T minus 1. However, in this case, since each time we need to take out K variable, so we can only repeat our process T over K minus 1 time. This is why our bound is of this shape. And it is roughly K squared times E to the minus T over K squared. And this difference between T minus 1 and T over K minus 1 is exactly where give us the extra K factors for the G tilde of K. Okay? So we can further improve this bound by the efficient difference method, which will give us the delta T to be of size K squared times E to the minus 2T over K squared. Also before, we see that the trivial bounds for delta is delta equal to delta T. Then the iterative method So then the first iterative method shows that we can bound the delta actually by roughly 1 over K delta T. And this gives us the bound for G tilde of K to be 1 plus little O of 1 K squared log K. Okay? So now let's consider a function field analog of this equation. So we go to the mean value theorem in FQ of T. Okay. So now that the FQ of T as usual to be the polynomial ring over the finite field FQ, and we will denote by CH of FQ to be the characteristic of FQ. And then for a fixed integer K, and now we will take N to be an element in FQ of T. We consider the quantity Rsq of n, which is the number of representations of n as a sum of xk power. And here we will ask the degree of xi to be less than degree of n over k, the Schelling function. And we will define the GQ of K tilde to be the least integer x, such that the asymptotic formula for RSQN holds. if the degree of n is sufficiently large. Then in this case, by applying Weyl's difference method, in 1971, Kubota proved that GQQ of K can be bounded by 2 to the K plus 1. Let's notice here. In the process when we are doing the Weyl's difference, there is a factor of K factorial occurred. And these factors will become trivial if the characteristic of K, if K is bigger than the characteristic. So this result actually only holds if K is less than the characteristic of FQ. And in this case, by applying the efficient difference method and the fourth iterated method, Trevor and I proved the following. So if K is less than the characteristic of FQ, we show that the GQ of K is bounded by 1 plus little o of 1, K squared log K. Thus, in this case, we have a result similar to its integer analog. So a principal defect in this result is actually the restriction that the K less than the characteristic. Because the more natural condition will be K and the characteristic are co-prime to each other. And so, now we already see that the Weyl's difference can be problematic when K is bigger than the characteristic of the field. So let's try in the Gödel approach and see what we can get. So if we write that P to be the characteristic of FQ, then in this case, the equation x1 to the p, 2xp to the p, actually is equal to x1, 2xp to the p. Thus, if it is happen that the k is bigger than the characteristic, then the equation that we consider before, x1 to the j, 2xp to the j, equal to y1 to the j, 2yp to the j, with the j running from 1 to k, now they are no longer independent. So at the first look, it seems that to apply the Vinogradov approach, we still need the condition that the k is than the characteristic. But now let's remind ourselves why we need this k equation at the first place. So before we need this k dimensional sums, because like in the case of integer, when we write x as mu plus a to the power k, we get it is summation j equal to 0 to k, k choose j, m to the j, u to the j, a to the k minus j. And this is how we need the j run from 1 to k, we need to consider this sum. However, if we consider in FQ of T, and we try to write J in the P expansion, So let's say we write J. So the J is our index here. At the summation, D bigger than 0. AD of J, P to the power D. So where AD of J are numbers, run between 0 and P minus 1. Then in this case, by Lucas criterion, actually, the binomial K choose J will be non-zero if and only if AD of J is less than AD of K. So those are the coefficients correspond to the P expansion of K for all of the D. In other words, instead of consider all of the J running from 1 to K, which we need for the integer case, actually we only need to consider those J satisfies this condition. And so now let's call this set KLQ. So those are all of the 1, J from 1 to K, with AD of J less than AD of K for all D. But we still have a small problem here. If we have two elements, J1, J2, in K tilde, and it can happen that J2 is equal to J1 times some P power. Then in that case, the equation x1 to the j2, 2xt to the j2, is equal to x1 to the j1, 2xt to the j1, to the p to the nu. So the equations of exponent j2 are not independent from the equation of j1. So to really get an independent set for an element j in KL, we will write our J as lambda J times P to the nu of J, where P of nu of J are the exact orders of P which divides J. And then we consider the set KL to be those lambda J, where the J belongs to KLQ. And we all now only consider the equation x1 to the j, 2xt to the j, equal to y1 to the j, 2yt to the j, with j belong to KL. And now the point is, this equation now are independent. Moreover, they actually generate all of the equation with our J belong to this set. So let's really generate everything that we need. And so, in this case, and I can prove the following theorem. So in the case when K is bigger than the characteristic of FQ, we can bound the GQ tilde of K by 2 plus little o of 1, the size of the KL times K log of the size of KL times K. Now let's try to give an example about how big this KL can be. So if in the case K is equal to P plus 1, so now it is bigger than the characteristic. So in that case, Our KL killed all of those numbers whose peak expansion is less or equal than 1 in the first digits and also less or equal than 1 in the second digit. So there are only 1P and P plus 1. But the equations with exponent P can be generated by the 1, by the 1 by 1. So we have the KL is only 1 and P plus 1. So in this case, the size of the K is actually equal to 2, and we can get GQ killed of K is bounded by 4 plus little O of 1, K log K. So certainly it is a much better bound than its integer analog, which is of size K squared log K. And in many cases, actually the size of the K is only of little O of K. And this is why in this situation, we can actually get a much better bound than the integer analog. Of course, in our work, since now we need to consider a generalized Winnegoldorf mean value theorem. And our index does not run from 1 to K, but a kind of random. So it does create quite a few trouble when we try to define what we mean by the singular solution, and also when we perform those differencing process. But fortunately, we can manage to overcome all the difficulty and got the result. So this is all I want to say today. Thank you for your attention.